Good morning. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes to introduce the song, the songs that we are going to sing. Gerald is not here for a couple of Sundays. He's in one of the Carolinas. I don't remember, down that neck of the woods somewhere, visiting a son of his who lives there. And Phyllis was going to play for us today, but I got a call from her just a little while ago saying she's not well. So she's not here. But I commented to somebody, singing without accompaniment just reminds me of singing in the old cow barn, you know. So, and that always worked fine. The cows didn't get too riled up when I sang for them. So we're going to sing without music and without cows today. We have music, we just don't have an accompaniment. But we're going to sing some great songs. I appreciate the text that was read this morning. Have you ever been afraid? Do you ever get afraid today? I mean, as adults, we say, well, you're not supposed to be afraid. You're just supposed to get through stuff, you know, that kind of thing. I will readily admit that there are nights, I have been plagued with what has been called night terrors occasionally. And Paula's not here today. We have a wonderful substitute for Paula here this morning to sing with me up here. But Paula has a bad leg today. But she would be willing to confirm the fact that I have what has been defined as night terrors, not nightmares, just night terrors. When I wake up in the middle of the night occasionally and I'm just so afraid I can't move. And Paula is, she knows what to look for when I have those things, and she wakes me up, and it's a good thing I wake up because she just beats on me to get me awake. So I'm glad I wake up pretty quickly. But we live in interesting times. And I was telling somebody just here recently, they're asking me about the end times, and I referred to Swindoll, who years ago, Swindoll was asked if he believed we were living in the end times, and he said, no, I believe we are living in the end of the end times. And when we look around ourselves and see the things that are going on in the world, I can't help but believe that I can't help but believe that Jesus is not coming soon. All in God's timing, we recognize that, but I believe Jesus is coming soon. And in the day in which we live in interesting times, don't we? Today, as we are here gathering to worship in Denver, they are having one of the biggest celebrations in the country, celebrating Gay Pride. That's in the state capital of the state in which we live. One of the biggest celebrations in the country. We should all take pause when we think about those kinds of things. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world has blinded the mind of the unbelieving so that they would do vile things. That's what Psalm 14 says. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God, and God has given them up that they might do vile things. It's an interesting day in which we live. Matthew 5, 6, 7, we have recorded for us the words that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. As that teaching closes, Jesus referred to two houses, two men who built their houses. One built his house on the sand, and the storms came along, and the house fell down. Collapse. The other built his house on a rock, and his house stood the test of time. We are going to sing the solid rock. Would you stand, please? And I hope this is your testimony this morning. My hope is built on nothing less. We are singing a cappella today, which is wonderful. If you can find a part in singing these songs, sing it with gusto. That always sounds great as far as I'm concerned, and I think God enjoys it as well. My hope is built on nothing less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
How are we doing this morning? Can have a little lights this way, that'd be great. You know, before I start on the message today, this reminds me today of something that we did when we were out in Eastern Oregon. We decided that we were going to have me arrested and then take all the people to the gym, which we had set up into little cells. No hymnals, no Bibles, dark. And we did that for a reason. And so after I got arrested, and that was kind of interesting, and then we moved everybody down there, all of a sudden in the quiet darkness, somebody would start a song. Somebody would begin to quote a scripture. This went on for an hour and a half. And you couldn't see each other. You could just hear this echoing throughout the gym. That reminded me today so much of that service. Sometime we might try that and just see how that would work for us. And it has nothing to do with my message at all. It just reminded me of it. But today we're going to continue our series in Life's Affecting Questions. And today's question is found in Matthew chapter 8. So let's turn there. It's a passage that has already been read for us. But let's go to Matthew chapter 8, looking at verse 26. But he said to them, "Why are you fearful?" That's our question this morning. Why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was great calm. How many of you think that Jesus can calm the sea? that he can calm the storm. Why are we fearful if we know that? Let's bow together. Father, there are times in our lives when we are like these men caught in a storm. We become fearful, anxious, worried. And Lord, sometimes we get through that okay, and at other times we're like these men of little faith. So Father, this is something that we all face. Sometime in our life, if we haven't already, probably multiple times. And I want to thank you that you have given us your word to show us how to face those times and how to deal with them. So Lord, as we step into this passage of scripture and as we step into the message today, I pray that the things that might be on our minds that would distract us, things that are going on today, tomorrow, this week, that, Father, they'd just be set aside for a little bit. And we would pay attention to what your Spirit is saying to us, because fear is coming. If it's not already in our life, it's coming. And we need to know, by the guidance of your Spirit and your Word, how to handle fear. Why are you fearful? Give us some practical application of this, that we might really find help in time of storms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the back of your bulletin, you'll see that there's a lot of blanks this time to fill in. And if I say something or get to moving too fast and you don't get a blank, just raise your hand and I'll repeat that blank to make sure that you get that. But, you know, from the very first moment of our life, moments that we can't even remember because we're too little, to the moment of death, we're constantly confronted with situations that are unexpected. The unexpected grabs us from the beginning of life all the way until we die, to which we are totally unprepared for. And that can bring fear. We can have a sense of inadequacy, of incompetence. That threat of fear grabs our life. We fear failure. Now, fear can be good in the sense that it can cause us to be cautious so that we're not careless, but it also can paralyze us. Fear paralyzes us. It does that by preventing us from being able to take risks or chances because we're just afraid to take that risk. We're afraid to take that chance. Or on the other hand, it chains us to routines that are so familiar to us, proven to be safe, that we just get caught in a rut and we can't think or act outside of that routine. It can also cause us to hesitate. And as we hesitate, we miss the opportunity. It can reduce us. It can cause us to be crippled. So I want us to think again, all of these things that fear can do, it can make us incompetent, inadequate, fear failure, prevent us from taking risks, or being so caught up in a routine that's safe that we won't risk anything. It can cause us to hesitate and we miss the opportunity simply because we couldn't make a decision out of fear. It can reduce us to paralysis. It can cripple us to not move and just stay where we are. Now, I want to suggest to you that fear has to be recognized. It has to be met. To live in constant fear is not what Jesus intended for us to be able to do with our lives. And so when Jesus saw his disciples here frantic with fear, he challenges them. Now notice this statement in verse 26. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? He ties fear and faith together. And by the time we get to the end of our message, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to show you that the answer to fear lies in faith. But we have to get there first. So after a long journey, and Jesus has been teaching, he's been healing people in and around Capernaum, he decides to go to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. There's less crowds. He won't be as pressed. He needs a little rest, a little solitude. He knows that he can get that over there. Now, on their way crossing over, there's a storm. Now, these are fishermen that are hardened. They've been in storms before. They've been on the Sea of Galilee. They've been through rough storms. But somehow, this particular storm caused them, these hardened fishermen, to be panicked with fear. Now, it's interesting because Jesus, exhausted by his labors the day before in his healing and teaching ministry, he's fallen asleep in the same rocking boat that the rest of the men are in. Why? He wasn't troubled by the storm. His faith in the Father's care was strong. He had a calm trust in God, who was going to take him through the circumstances to serve his purpose, and he knew it. So he was able to be calm and actually asleep. Now today we're going to look at three things. You can see that in your notes. As we look here at fear. What fear causes? What causes fear? Then we're going to look at the instruction and the destruction that fear brings into our life. Then we're going to look at the solutions for that fear. And all three of those things come out of this passage of Scripture. First thing we want to look at is what fear causes. Now, it was interesting because fear was a very natural reaction on the part of these disciples. So why does Jesus rebuke the disciples for a natural reaction for fear of the storm? Why does he do that? I want to suggest three reasons. Because they had forgotten, because they had lost sight, and because they had become preoccupied. Number one, they had forgotten. Fear causes us to forget. They forgot who was in the boat with them, and in the midst of fear, we can forget who is in the boat with us as well. They should have remembered the Creator was there in the boat with them. He was the one that created the waves. He's the one that created the sea. He's the one that creates the storms. He certainly could control them. But they forgot. In their immediate circumstances, they got their eyes upon the circumstance, and it had taken over their memory of past deliverances. Couldn't God take care of these 13 men in this little boat if he had divided the Red Sea? If he'd given great victories to Joshua and Gideon against the enemies and even bringing pestilences to win and confusion? Couldn't he take care of these 13 men? They had forgotten who was in the boat with them. Fear causes us to forget. Second, they had lost sight. Fear causes us to lose sight of what God is doing. They lost sight of the purpose of God, the purpose of his ministry. Now, Jesus had come to reveal the person, the power of God. He was to be destined to die on the cross. Do you think God was going to allow him to die in this boat or carry out the commission that God had for him? God was also preparing these disciples to take over when Jesus was gone. Was he going to lose his whole plan in one storm, in one boat? See, they had too narrow of a view of God's power. And we also can have too narrow of a view of God's power. They also had too narrow of a view of his willingness to act on our behalf. We forget that he is willing to act on our behalf. And we forget about his power. we can lose sight. Fear causes us to lose sight of what God is doing. Why? Because we focus on what's happening to me rather than what God is doing in this fear and in this storm. Third, they were preoccupied. They were preoccupied with themselves. So they had forgotten, they had lost sight. Now they were preoccupied. Fear can cause us to be preoccupied. And that fear caused them to temporarily lose awareness of his presence. The only reason they knew he was in the boat was that he is the person that could maybe save them. They had lost touch with their protector. In the midst of our fear, in the midst of our storm, we can lose touch with the one who's promised to protect us. They got their eyes upon the circumstances rather than upon the protector, upon Jesus. Fear causes us to be preoccupied. Now the second thing, did you get all those? Everybody got all those? Okay. The second thing we want to look at is the destruction that fear can bring. Now, fear is the opposite of faith. We're going to look at that a little later. Now, fear is not the unbelief that denies some truth. What unbelief is, what fear is the unbelief that neglects to appropriate the truth that's available. Did you get what I said? Let me repeat it. My wife says repeat it. Fear is not the faith that denies some truth. It's not the denial of truth. It's a failing to appropriate the truth that's available to you. That's fear. When you fear, you're failing to appropriate the truth that's available to you. So the disciples had failed to appropriate the power that was available to them. They measured the situation by the storm, not by Jesus. And see, when we get in a place of fear, we have a tendency to measure the situation based on the situation, based upon our fear, rather than upon who Jesus is. So fear is destructive, first of all, because it's disorganizing. Fear causes us to be disorganized. They were so overcome by fear that somehow they could not work together efficiently. They could not organize themselves to come up with a solution for their safety. They panicked. See, fear can cause us to concentrate not our thoughts on the situation that can produce a remedy. We can't see the remedy because we are fearful and we're disorganized, and we're so disorganized we can't get to the remedy, we can't get to the solution. Fear disorganizes us. Fear also is unreasoning. It causes us to lose all sense of reason. Their instinctive response was to flight and fury and panic. Under stress, what's our reaction? Under stress, what's our response? Is it more frantic than intelligent? Sometimes it has no reason to it. We don't have to have reason. We just have our feelings. And we fear. Fear is unreasonable. Fear can also bring physical danger and fear of failure. Danger and failure. I don't care if it's a fire or an auto accident or a hurricane or a sudden attack. It can bring on fear. Fear of failure can come from an exam that we have to take. It could come from an interview that we have or a business decision that has to be made. It may be the fear of death, the fear of cancer, uncertainty of the future. But it brings destruction. We can't come to a remedy, we can't come to a solution because we're disorganized. Because we don't have reason. We don't have where we fear failure. So Jesus wanted to replace fear and destruction with faith. So that brings us to the third thing we want to look at, and that is the solution for fear. What is the solution for fear? Now, the antidote that Jesus presents here for fear is faith. You say, oh, man, that's such a simple answer. Well, wait till you see how it's not so simple. See, Jesus' question brought them to faith, and I want to suggest to you that faith is a person. It's Jesus. We're going to get to that in a minute. See, what he did was he brought them to faith, but in essence, he brought them to himself. Now, I think Jesus being asleep in the boat had a purpose. I think God wanted him to be asleep in the boat, gave him the ability to be asleep in the boat, because sleeping peaceful through the storm exhibited a perfect confidence in the one that had the power and the purpose, and that was God. The only one in the boat that was connected to that power and that purpose was Jesus. How? By faith. Now, here we go. If you don't get anything else, get this. Jesus represented and presented himself as the object of their faith. Now, let me tell you something. When you're in fear or you're in a storm, you have some object for faith. It may be yourself. It may be the circumstance. It may be in somebody else's counsel. But there's always an object. Faith has to have an object. Now, the question is, where's our faith? Jesus brought their faith to himself. Now, these men, they knew storms. They had confidence in their ability and their boats, and they knew the fishing business. They knew the storms. They knew how to handle them. But it wasn't enough. Jesus had to become the object of their faith. Now, here's the question. Who's the object of our faith? What is the object of our faith in the midst of a storm, in the midst of Christ? You know, it's amazing how we start going to everybody but God. Look at verse 27. After they see him calm the storm, these men said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" What kind of man is this? The one we can trust? The one we can put our faith into? See, faith is not somehow just a complacent feeling that somehow everything's going to turn out okay. Let me tell you, not everything turns out okay. Right? They're disappointments. They're discouragements. They're failures. Now, everything may work out for the purpose of God, but not everything works out well. See, faith is not dodging the storm. And somehow we have been taught for years that with God, you can dodge the storm. Or the other thing we tell people is God will take you through the storm. Well, good, that's true. Sometimes God will allow you to dodge the storm. We should pray for that. Sometimes God will take us through the storm. We should pray for that. But let me suggest a third prayer, that you find Jesus, the master, in the midst of the storm. Not to dodge it, not to go through it, but that you would find Jesus, the master of the storm. See, the first step of faith is to accept the power of Christ as a fact. See, the whole situation in the boat was to draw the men to him, to Jesus. The purpose of your fear, we're going to see that in a minute, the purpose of the storm is to bring you to the master of the storm. Yes, he can help you dodge it. Yes, he might take you through it. But the important thing is you meet him and you find him. Now, you need to be able to call upon God for something that you've not already experienced. See, it's the only way you're going to grow in faith, folks. Let me lay this out. If you only trust him for what you've already experienced, you're not going to grow very far in faith. You have to trust him for something you've never trusted him for before. You got it? What are you trusting him for that you've never had the faith to trust him for? That's the only way you're going to grow in faith. See, faith is confidence to trust him in something that you don't have the ability to do yourself. Not in ourselves, not in our circumstances, but in the person. And Jesus is going to lend his strength to our exertions and our efforts. And may even tell us to stop it. See, Jesus is both able and willing to rescue us. Can I repeat that? He is able and willing to rescue us. And we need to understand this on both sides of the storm, before the storm and after the storm. Now, I like to think of this in light of Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission, 19 and 20, go into all the world, make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them. But notice what he says at the end of that. And lo, I am what? With you always. All the way to the end of the age. He's with us before we go. He's with us while we're going. And he's with us after. And that's what we have to understand about the storm, about that which is causing fear. He's with us before the fear comes, before the storm comes, during the storm, and after the storm. He is still there. Isn't it interesting? He's still in the boat. See, faith is also the acceptance of the purpose of God. Jesus never swerved from his path that God had laid out for him. God had a purpose for him, and it was greater than any perils he's going to face. Now, let me tell you something. God has a purpose for your life, and until he's done with you and he takes you home, all the perils of life is not going to stop that purpose from happening. Hello? Jesus got a purpose for this church. And it's not going to be done until he's done. And when he's done, we'll know it. And when he's not done, we'll know it. Sidebar. As the purpose of God unfolds in our life, that's when we gain confidence. A growing understanding of his objective is that we can have faith in his ability, not our ability. God never fails to gain his objective. He never fails to gain his objective. Now, fear is defeated by faith, largely because of love. 1 John 4:18, you see that at the very bottom of your notes. It says, perfect love casts out fear. Boy, have we taught wrong on this. It's not our love that casts out fear. It's his love. Perfect love, Jesus' perfect love, casts out fear as he becomes the object of our faith. We can put our faith in the one who loves us enough to wake up and still the storm. Jesus will wake up and still the storm and the fear in your life and in my life. What's the result of faith? The disciples and the boat reached their destination. I don't care what storm, what fear you're going through. The objective is to reach your destination, and God still wants that destination reached. How many of you remember that little chorus? Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Now you'll be singing that the rest of the day. I did yesterday. It's crazy. But with Jesus, the disciples didn't avoid the storm. You know, don't pray, oh, God, I don't ever have any fear. Oh, God, I never want to go through the storm. No. They had someone who was with them in the boat. That's what we have to recognize when we come to fear. That's what we have to recognize in the storm, that there's someone in the boat with us. We're not alone. So today we need to discard our fear and be confident in Jesus, that he's in our little boat. And he too is going to calm the storm. He too is going to bring us safely to our destination, whatever that might be, and whatever reason he has the storm in our life. So here comes the application. I want you to find a blank space in your note somewhere on the bulletin. You can even write it on Jesus on the front cover. I don't care. Find a place where you can write it. This is what I want you to write. A fear that you want to bring to Jesus right now. A fear that you want to bring to Jesus right now. It may be that you're already in that fear. Maybe it's a fear that you think is coming, but I want you to write down a fear that you want to bring. I'm going to give you just a minute to do that. Think it through. What fear do you have right now? What fear are you experiencing right now? I already wrote mine down last night. Now, when that fear comes this week, when it comes today, don't forget who Jesus is. Don't forget who he is. Don't lose sight of who he is. See, get your eye off the fear. Don't forget Jesus. Don't lose sight of Jesus in the storm. Do not become preoccupied with yourself trying to figure it out. How are you going to get an answer? And you start going through all of the, you know. Stay still. The disciples couldn't do anything. Neither can you. Except trust Jesus. Remember that fear is going to cause you to be disorganized. If you find yourself getting disorganized over this, no. If you become unreasonable in it, you start yelling at somebody, like your spouse. Oh, I'm a failure. The solution to this fear that you've written down is faith. Faith in Jesus. This is what I want you to pray. That you would find Jesus in that fear. That you'd find Jesus in that storm. Where is he? Have you found him? Keep looking till you do. Then put your confidence in him, not in yourself, not in your circumstances, not in your ability, not in whatever it is that might be an answer. You know, man, God, I've got this great talent, and that talent will take me through this. No. Find confidence in Jesus. Not in your circumstances. And not in yourself. Let's bow together. Why are you fearful? Answer, oh, you have little faith. Father, we confess to you that our faith gets put in the wrong things, in ourselves and our circumstances. And Father, help us to remember who's in the boat with us. Help us to remember who's the one that can calm that storm. The enemy wants us to forget. The enemy wants us to lose sight. The enemy wants us to become preoccupied. He wants us to be disorganized and without reason and fear failure. What he doesn't want us to do is to find Jesus and put our trust in him. So, Father, I pray that you would help us, because all of us are here at one time or another. And I pray that you would give us an answer in you, and that we'd see some victory. Even this week, man, I found Jesus, and he took care of my fear. And his love cast out fear. Not my love, his love for me in the midst of this situation cast out my fear. So this is your work. Complete it and do it in us. Give us something this week that we can see victory in. In Jesus' name, amen.